victory over scoffers. Yep. And let's see, in your book, that would be on page 43. So 43, and hopefully we'll get past Roman numeral 1 today by God's grace. Several very good verses I want to share with you this morning dealing with that point. But let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 2:14 first, and then we'll go ahead and go into the outline here. Amen. Everybody got 1 Corinthians 2:14?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go ahead and read that together, and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we look at the victory that we can have over scoffers, Lord. They have always been there. They will always be there. Lord, I pray that you would help us to go above and beyond what they do because of the blessed word of God that we have. Thank you for standing for the Bible month that we have. And Lord, help us to continue to hold forth the word of God. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, today. Guide us. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be opened and touched, Lord, to have compassion on these scoffers as well as we stand for Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. You are next week. We're going to just give you some encouragement as well for the point system that we have here in Sunday school. Of course, you get points for doing your memory verse. You get points for having all of your participation and things of that nature. And we want to really just kind of reiterate the fact that those things are very, very needful and good, and encourage you in that to start memorizing your Sunday school verses. Amen. And get some things accordingly. Mrs. Rose normally handles that. She's not here today. She'll be back next week. She's in Lancaster, California. And so we'll share a little bit more about that next week, just to remind you about that. But victory over scoffers, we're dealing with that. By the way, how do you handle a scoffer personally? We know what the Word of God says, but if a scoffer comes up, how should you treat a scoffer? That's the one that ridicules, mocks what you do, mocks your stand for God. How do you treat a scoffer? Wait, Brother Fred? That's the way it used to be.
Yeah. Amen, Fred. Amen, brother.
Amen. You know, if you tell somebody that's the way you used to be, you know, they might say, huh? What?
What?
You were this way? You know, I talk to drunkards all the time, and I said, I was just like you. Mm-hmm. And they look at me, and they say, you could not have been just like me. I said, you think I was born this way? I popped out this way? I said, no. So I was just like you. I said, you know, God had to deal with me. Amen. Well, what else? How can you deal with a scoffer? I mean, because the Bible here is going to tell us what we need to do.
Yes, sir.
But how do you treat a scoffer? And what's the most effective way to treat a scoffer?
Perfectly.
Yeah, Jeff?
I tell him God still loves you even though you are a scoffer.
Amen. God still loves you even though you're a scoffer. Amen. By the way, that's true. He does love even though they're a scoffer. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the worst way to deal with a scoffer?
Get in an argument.
Get an argument.
There you go.
Amen. Fight fire with fire. Treat him the way he is treating you or she's treating you. That's the worst way to deal with a scoffer. If they want to come off to you to be mean and belittle you, if you try to belittle them and try to one-up them, guess what? It is going to turn into a bad, bad situation. Because he can always or she can always find something bad about you just as easy as you can find something bad about them. Amen. And so you never want to deal with someone that way. But as Jeff said, you want to let them know that God loves them and you care about them. You're not going to get into these endless debates and word struggles. Amen. But what you want to do is have the countenance of Christ. And what you want to have is the word of God. Because long after you're gone from that scoffer, guess what will stick in their heart? The word of God. The word of God will stick in their hearts long after you're gone from them. So let me give you Roman numeral number 1, and then we'll fill out these two real quick. Does anybody need a book? Make sure I give these out. Anybody need a book? Brother Fred, if you can give these out. Raise your hand, Brother Fred, will get you a book. You need one? Amen. victory over scoffers. Of course, we know that they've always been there. The definition that we gave for scoffer is this. Let me find my definition here. It is a derider or a mocker, or it can be also a false teacher. It can also be a scorner or someone that is contemptuous towards you. And oftentimes, they're not contemptuous towards you, but what are they contemptuous toward?
God.
Towards God, or the position you take for God, or the word of God that you are upholding or trying to live. And they want to ridicule you in such a way that you'll either back away or you will go away. So they want to feel good about themselves. And while you're in the vicinity, they can't feel good about themselves. Why? Because the truth of what you're saying. Yep. Amen. And so Roman numeral one is a victory through God's promises, because we're answering the question, how can we continue to stand for God in the face of the scoffers? Victory through God's promises. Then A, the words of the prophets. Mm-hmm. The words of the prophets. Then B, the words of the apostles. The words of the apostles. Then C, the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord. So Roman number one, victory over victory through God's promises. That's how we're going to get the victory. And then A, we have the words of the prophets. Then B, we have the words of the apostles. Then C, we have the words of the Lord. Now, again, let me tell you this right off the bat. If nobody knows you're a Christian, they're not going to scoff or mock against you. Let's just settle that. Settle that right off the bat. But the minute you open your mouth, and the minute you tell them you stand on abortion because of, or you stand on LBGY because of, or you stand against this lifestyle or that because you're a Christian, you're opening yourself up for a scoffer. But if you keep your mouth closed and say absolutely nothing, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, nothing's going to happen, because they don't know what you stand for. And they'll talk all of their junk in front of you. But the minute you open up and say, well, I happen to disagree, because the Bible says, oh, Miss Lepar, you're one of those Bible thumpers. We know about you. I bet you're a Baptist, too, aren't you? You only like the King James Bible, I bet, too. And you guys probably tell people they're going to go to hell, don't you? Yeah, you're one of those. Yeah, I heard about you guys. Amen. And they'll start mocking you, man. And I've had it before. I mean, they've jumped up my back, man, and took a ride. Amen. And stomped me into the dirt. And I thought, man, is it that bad? Amen. And so when these people do this, we've got to have something. Let me read to you what the book says here about victory through God's promises. It says we can obtain victory over the scoffers through the promises of God. Though all else changes around us, the word of God stands sure and unchanging. In other words, it matters not what they say.
Right.
At the end of the day, we know the end of the story. At the end of the day, they can scoff, they can mock. By the way, before Noah got on the ark, I bet they called them all sorts of losers.
Yep.
You're a loser. You're talking about rain. We don't even know what rain is. You're building this big monstrosity of a ship. And what's for? You're saying God's going to flood the earth. What are you? You are a moron. Was that? Exactly. You're a moron. Then they probably ridiculed his kids and your kids. Your dad is a lunatic, man. He's talking about this water and this flood. He's a lunatic. I bet they scoffed and they mocked. But guess what Noah had? He had God's assurance.
Yes, sir.
Guess what you and I have? God's assurance. God's promises. By the way, yeah, then it rained. And I bet there were a lot of Noah. Let us in. We believe you now. It's too late now. By the way, what does the Bible say? God shut the door. So guess who's got to open the door? God's going to open the door. Amen. 1 Timothy 4. Let's look at something real quick, because I want to bring you to a truth and a realization. 1 Timothy chapter 4. When it comes to these scoffers, when it comes to these mockers, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And 1 Timothy chapter 4. Who's got that? Can read that for me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Go ahead, Ben. Amen. So he says, you know, and the Spirit is speaking really, really loud that people are going to depart. They're going to give way to everything that they hear and go away from the truth. And that ought not be the child of God. Why? We've got the promise of God. He tells you some of the things they're going to go for. Notice verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And then he goes on to talk about every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused or be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of the things, thou should be a good minister. He said, Timothy, remind them that in the last days, the Spirit is speaking, people are going to give heed to a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to start scoffing and mocking and going away to other things and say, believe this and believe that. Don't believe the Bible. He says, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. By the way, 1 John, the encouragement is to try the spirits or test them. Go over there real quick. 1 John, and let's go over to verse number 4. Chapter number 4, 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Fred, you got that? Read verse number 1, 1 John 4, 1. By the way, if you and I don't stand for the victory through God's promises, we will accept a lie.
Yes, sir, we will, Pastor.
We're going to accept a lie because there's only one truth, and that's the truth of God. And the victory that you and I have is going to be through the promises of God, and those promises are contained in the Word of God. And the scoffer's job is to get you to go away from this book and these principles so that he can have his way and feel unconvicted, but although the word of God is still convicting. Amen. By the way, it says this right here. When the critics come, their assault is often against the word of God. Satan knows that if he can make us doubt what God has said, he is well on his way to defeating us. It's the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. He got them to doubt God's word, and the rest is history. You and I are sinners as a result. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. Amen. So when you look at this first point here, victory through God's promises, we have got to stand for the word of God and stand for what God has says. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at that for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3. And who is there? I got that for me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. Go ahead, Katie, 2 Peter 3, 2. Amen. Amen. So he said, be mindful of the words that were spoken. We still have victory through the promises. No matter what people want to say, our whole goal is to discount what they say by believing what God has already said. Amen. Because they're going to say what they want to say. They've already given their chip in on homosexuality. They've given their chip in on same-sex marriage. They've given their chip in on abortion. They've given their chip on how it's okay to have affairs and have relationships outside of marriage. It's okay to have all these things. They've already given that. You can't even correct your children anymore. They've already given their chip in. You can't do anything. But the Bible says that we ought to do it. And so we have to make sure that although the scoffers are going to come and beat against us for what we do and what we stand for, God in his sovereignty is going to have the last say. Amen. So with that said, let's move on to words. We have the words of the prophets. The words of the prophets. By the way here, it says the prophecies of Scripture are certain because the men who wrote the Bible were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is not merely Shakespearean in nature. It is not just a great work of inspiring literature. It is not merely a book of great historical value due to its antiquity. It is the word of God, and we need to listen to it and heed it. By the way, did it save us? Yes. If it saved us, guess what? It's going to keep us through scoffers. Can a scoffer unsave you? No, they can't unsave me. Can they make you feel so bad that you'll lose your salvation? No. Now, they can make you feel real bad, but they can't make you lose your salvation. Amen. And so when you look at here, we have the words of the prophets. By the way, go over to 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. This should be in your book anyway. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verses 10 and 11. This is in your book already. And I want us to just contemplate what this verse says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. and verse 11. Somebody read those two for me, verses 10 and 11. Who can read those first? Fred, go ahead. Amen. So verse number 10 and 11, by the time we get down there, Peter has opened up his epistle. He's told you who he's writing to. It's the strangers that were scattered abroad. But he lets you know that you have an inheritance in verse 4 that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's waiting for you, reserved in heaven. And he lets you know in verse 5, you and I are kept by the power of God. And he lets you know, not only are we kept by the power of God, the end of our salvation is going to be finally revealed when Jesus Christ comes back. Hallelujah and glory to God. That's great. That's great. Verse 9, receiving the end of your salvation. He says, now the prophets told us about that. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He said, the prophets told us about this. He said, but they didn't really understand it. They didn't really understand it. Now think about it. If they didn't really understand it, notice verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. They talked all about the sufferings of Christ before it even happened. They talked about all those things. They talked about the church age, but they didn't comprehend it. So as they were writing, they didn't understand it. God inspired the very words of the prophets, and they faithfully recorded them, but even though they didn't comprehend everything that was there. What are some things that the prophets didn't understand? Number one, they didn't understand the church age.
Right.
You and I, they didn't understand us, the church age.
Right,
you know what else they didn't understand? The Gentiles being included in the grace of God. They didn't understand that. They wrote about it. David spoke about it. But something like this, let's say, for instance, if Jeff was a Jew and Natasha was a Jew and brother Ken was a Greek and, Tina was from Ethiopia. And, you know, we're all here together. They would be like, what? We've talked about it, but we don't really understand the workings of the Spirit of God. It's different. So they didn't understand the church age. They didn't understand Gentile inclusion. They didn't understand one people in Christ.
Right.
They didn't understand to be neither circumcision nor Jew nor Gentile nor male and female. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand the marriage to Christ. What else did they understand? They didn't understand the crucifixion of Christ.
That's right.
That's why they did it.
That's right, Pastor.
But was all that foretold about? Yes.
Yes, it was.
Did the prophets write about it? Yes. Is it unfolding before our eyes? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Is it finished? No.
Wait.
So what am I saying? We have the word or the promises of God. We have victory through God's promises. God said it, that settles it. We have the words of the prophets. They pinned it down. By the way, you and I have a complete Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Do we know everything from start to finish?
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
We know everything from start to finish. But are there still some things that we don't understand?
Yes.
Yes,
there is.
How many of y'all know what you're going to be doing in heaven besides praising God? You don't know? Brother Sam, you don't know what street you're going to live on? You don't know the address of your mansion, Tamara? But we know we have one, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Tasha, you know who your roommate's going to be? Tasha said, I'm at my own mansion. I ain't getting a roommate. Get out of here.
Hey,
I said, he's not mansion prepared for you. Amen. So we don't eternity. What's eternity going to be like? We have no concept of what eternity is going to be like. Why? Because we're temporal people. We have a beginning and we're going to have a physical end, but not an eternal end. And so when you look at the word of God, just like the apostles, we have their word and they prophesied of all these things. We don't really understand a whole lot of things. I mean, what's eternity going to be like? I mean, some of you say, man, it's eternity with these children and the mess they make. No, that's not eternity. Just feels like it sometimes. Amen. What are our duties going to be in heaven? What are you going to do? We're going to sweep the floor? We're going to mop?
I don't know.
What are we going to do? Hey, Mike Perkins. Amen. I almost didn't recognize you with the stuff here. Amen. So the duties. What about the lake of fire? You know, do we know what that's going to be like? We know that we're not going to be there. Amen. But the lake of fire, what's that going to be like? I mean, I don't know. And so the things that we don't understand, New Jerusalem. I mean, they give us the description of it coming down from heaven. They tell us about the different jewels that'll be there in Revelation. I mean, man, we got all that. But still, do we really know what that's going to be like? I mean, I haven't even ever seen real gold. This is about the closest I got to real gold.
Amen, Pastor.
And this is 10 carats. Anybody got 12 carats? 16 carats? Who's got real big diamonds on their finger? Nobody? Y'all afraid of robbers? Husbands, we can't afford big diamonds. Amen. Well, the Bible says these gates are going to be pearls and diamonds and all these, I mean, sapphire and all these things. And I can't even comprehend that. I mean, I had to go to the dictionary, look up some of this stuff because I'm like, I don't know what these gems are. Anybody went to the gym show? It's probably about as close as we're going to get to some of the stuff in heaven. Amen. Unless we actually see it. So when you look at the words of the prophets that they said, by the way, here's one. Who's the 12th apostle going to be? Because it says the names of the 12 apostles are going to be on the gates. And we know Judas Iscariot ain't the 12th one.
No, he ain't.
Is it going to be Paul? Mm. Is it going to be the one they cast the lots for? Matthias? Mm. Nobody's really told. Now, Paul did say he was an apostle born out of due season.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, my vote's for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, do we really know who the 12th apostle is going to be? Mm. So there's a lot of things that we really don't know. Amen.
Amen.
What age are we going to be in heaven? I know what age I don't want to be. Anything over 35.
Amen.
Say, preacher, why? 35 is when I start hurting, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got up to 34, man. I was basketball with the best of them, man. Football. I hit 35, and it was a screeching heart. And you talk about rigor mortis begin to set into certain joints.
Ouch.
I began to hurt in places I didn't know I had. All at once at 35. And I thought that must be a bad age. So in eternity, I don't want to be anything over 30. I don't even want to be 35, 34 and under.
Oh, amen.
But what age will we be in heaven? Anybody want to take a guess? Serge? 33 is the age that Christ was.
Wow. Amen.
Anybody else take a guess what age you're going to be? Anybody like to be sweet 16?
Yeah, I
were too immature at 16. 21, you're a legal adult in some states.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Well, you know what, don't know.
I don't know what.
But I know this, we have eternity looking forward to us.
Yes,
so what are we talking about here? When the scoffers are out there and when they're mocking us, when they're saying, we've got the words of the prophets, and we don't really understand all of what God is allowing these scoffers to do in our lives. And we don't really understand all that's going on. We do have the promises of God that God says this and it's going to happen just as he said it, even though we don't understand it. Amen. And then we have the words of the apostles. That's B, the words of the apostles. Fred, did you give Brother Mike a book? Jesus selected a group of followers who would continue his work. These were called apostles. And just as the Holy Spirit inspired the Old Testament, he inspired the apostles to write the New Testament. And he said, all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. He used these men to pin down the word of God, and it's reliable. By the way, this is an example that I've used before, and I'll read it. It says, when we send our soldiers into battle, we want them to have the very best equipment available. By the way, when you send your children out, don't you want them to have the best? You send them out to school or to a trip or whatever. You want them to have durable shoes and durable clothes and the appropriate clothes, and you want them to have everything they need. We want their weapons, our military, we want their weapons to be effective and their armor to be reliable. We want them to be prepared to fight. God prepares us for spiritual battles through the promises of his words. We have the victory through the promises of God, but then we've got these same things through the words of the apostles as well as the words of the prophets. And by the way, people are willing to throw away the Bible and believe any and everybody else. I don't believe the Bible, but I'll believe, you know, Dr. Seuss over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe the Bible, but I'll believe Nostradamus. I don't believe the Bible, but I'll believe this soothsayer or this fortune teller over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how folks will take fortune teller's words over the Bible. Or a necromancer or a soothsayer. I'll take this person over here. By the way, you drive up down the streets now, you'll see all sorts of palm readers and tarot card readers and all these type of folks that for a fee, they'll go in and give you your future.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you out here. For free, God will give you your future. There you go. For free. Wouldn't cost you a penny. All you got to do is just read the word of God, and God will tell you exactly what's going on in your life. And so we have the words of the apostles. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. That's going to be the topic of the morning sermon. Ephesians 6 and verse number 17. Again, are scoffers going to be on our jobs? Yes. Are they going to be in our communities? Yes. Are they going to be in our families sometime? Yes. Might they be sisters and brothers? Yes. They could even be mothers and fathers, unfortunately. Ephesians verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And notice what the Bible says. Take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And so we have the words of the apostles as well as the words of the prophets. Now let's get to the last one. We have the words of the Lord. See, the words of the Lord. Now, by the way, how many of you have a red letter edition Bible?
Amen.
Okay. That means that when Jesus Christ is speaking, it's in red. Mm-hmm. Ask a rhetorical question, because some people have said this before. Mm-hmm. Are the red words more important than the other words? Are the red words more important than the other words? Do they hold more weight just because Jesus said them? Because some people will say, yes, they're more important than these other words. But the Bible says, how much scripture is given by inspiration of God? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So I've got to get it all. Now, might it have more significance in a certain way, shape, fashion, or form? Yes, it might. But it's not more important, because if that were the case, then I could just drop everything else. That's what most people say. Well, it's not the red writings of Jesus Christ, so I don't really need to obey that. Really? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved is not in red.
That's right.
What happens if you neglect that? Amen. You could be in trouble. And so be careful with that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so when it comes to the words of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself even had authority with the scriptures and trusted the promises of scripture. I'll give you a couple here. Go to Matthew chapter 4:4. And Matthew 4:4, because Jesus put a lot of clout in the word of God. And if he did, so should we.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 4:4. And what are we talking about here? We have to stand on the promises of the word of God when scoffers come. Matthew 4:4. And in Matthew 4:4, who's got that? Can read that for me? Go ahead, Bev.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen. So now Jesus said it is written. Guess where? Guess where it's written at? Where's it written at? Deuteronomy 8:3. It's in our Bible. If he said it's written, guess what? There was something written before. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 8:3. So that means Jesus had some authority with the scriptures, and he backed the scriptures. And he said, look, I believe in the scriptures. 8:3. You there, sir? Deuteronomy 8:3? Deuteronomy 8:3. Who's there? Deuteronomy. Go ahead, Fred. Amen. So in that scripture right there, Jesus gave the testimony of the reliability of scripture. And so if he believed the scripture, if he held on to scripture, guess what we can do? Hold on to scripture as well. Amen. And so if he had the reliability of scripture that was written down by the prophets and by the apostles, and also here back in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ himself quoted from many Old Testament writers, and he placed confidence in what was written. Go to Luke 17 and verse 27. Luke 17 and verse number 27. Because again, when the scoffers come, which they will come, our guide has got to be to fall back on the word of God. Luke 17 and verse number 27. And notice what it says there. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that who? Noah, and that's actually Noah, entered into the ark and the flood came. So what does that show us? That Jesus Christ had the testimony of the reliability of Scripture. He believed that Noah was a real man. And this was a real time. This really, really happened. Amen. Show you another one here. Go to, let's see here. Matthew 24 and verse 37. You see the same basic parallel. Matthew 24 and verse 37. 24:37. Because what we're getting at, when you and I get attacked by scoffers, when the mockers come, when they want to deride you and treat you ill, you and I have got to fall back on the word of God. Matthew 24 and 37. Who's got that? Can read that for me. Go ahead, Tasha. Amen. So the days of who? Noah. So Jesus believed in Noah. Do you know that to this day, some people still don't believe there was a guy by the name of Noah and there was not a universal flood? Some people believe it didn't happen. They deny the flood to this day. With all the scientific resources we have, they deny it to this day. And you know what they do? They scoff and they mock and they say billions and billions of years ago. And this is what happened. And they scoff. But you know what? We have the promises of the word of God. Give you a couple more here before we close. Go over to Isaiah 54 and verse 9. Isaiah 54 and verse 9 real quick. Isaiah 54 and verse number 9. Prophet Isaiah speaking here. Isaiah 54, 9. Who's got Isaiah 54, 9? Read that for me. Sam?
For this is as the waters of Noah unto
thee,
for as I have sworn
that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor with you. So Isaiah, speaking for God under the inspiration of God, also believes in Noah. And this is God speaking through Noah. He said, hey, the waters, I believe that. Amen. So this is an authentic reference there. Isaiah 45 and verse number 9. Of course, we know 2 Peter believed in Noah as well. Come over to Matthew 12 and verse 39. Matthew 12 and 39. Again, this is Jesus. Matthew 12 and verse 39. What am I getting at here? You and I have to have victory over scoffers through the promises of the word of God. If God said it, that settles it. Matthew 12 and 39. And who's got Matthew 12, 39? Can read that for me. Matthew, Fred? And verse 40 as well. Jesus believed in the scriptures so much that he said, you know what? Just like I am going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, Jonah was in the belly of the whale that long. And so he had full confidence in the scriptures that were there. What is that telling us? You and I can have scripture confidence as well. Go back to Ezekiel 14, 14. And we're going to have to get ready to stop with this one. Ezekiel 14, 14. And who's got Ezekiel 14? Go ahead, Beth. Read Ezekiel 14 and verse 14.
Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God.
So now he's dealing with the wickedness of the times. And he said, the times are so wicked that even if these three men were there, they would only get out with just their own lives. And who did he identify? Noah was a person in Genesis. And who else? Daniel was a person that lived during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And who else? Job, one of the oldest characters in the Bible. Notice what he reiterates in verse number 20. Down there in verse number 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own selves by their righteousness. So again, the authenticity of the scriptures that Ezekiel had in Noah, Daniel, and Job is the same confidence that you and I have to have when scoffers come and they want to mock you on what you believe. on your Bible, on your stand on homosexuality and abortion and same-sex marriage, and they want to challenge you on your moral righteous stand, you can say, you know what? You can say what you want to say. I've got the promises of God. I've got the words of the apostles. I've got the words of Jesus Christ. I've got the words of the prophets. It all came true. I believe it. I'm going to stand on it. Say what you will. But at the end of the day, God's going to have the last laugh.
He is. He is.
By the way, he is. By the way, I encourage you to teach your children as well. Mm-hmm. You know who's going to get the brunt of this? Our children.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because they're growing up in a society that's telling them that it's okay for a guy to marry a guy and a girl to marry a girl.
Wow.
They're growing up in a society. I just went to Walmart the other day. Mm-hmm. And this guy came past me. Hi. Long hair, earrings, the whole... Nah. And I had to do a double take. And I thought, that's a guy dressed up like a girl.
Whoa.
And our society is saying it's okay. Corporations are saying it's okay because they don't want to get sued.
Right.
Everybody's saying it's okay. And our children are growing up in that. And we've got to let them know, hey, look, you know what? You're going to have some scoffers that's going to mock your righteous stand. But you got to know there's victory through God's promises.
Amen.
We've got the words of the apostles, the words of the prophets, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to get the last laugh when it comes to that. Brother Serge?
It's acceptable
now. Power for diversity.
Wow.
And Sister Shireen told me something that just blew my mind. The military now is paying for sex changes with our taxpayers' dollars. Our military is paying. If a guy comes in and says, I think I'm a girl, they pay for the sex change to convert them to a girl.
Wow.
If the girl comes in and says, I think I'm a guy, we're paying to change that guy into a girl. Your dollars and my dollars. Shireen told me that. I like to die.
Whoa.
I said, are you kidding me? She said, I am not kidding you.
Whoa.
She says she had some of her coworkers come in and had some dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
And same-sex marriage. She kind of looked at it like, I don't know how to counsel two ladies.
Mm.
I don't know how to counsel two men.
Yeah.
This is beyond my pay grade here. This is not what I've learned from the Bible. But if she doesn't do it, guess what? There's that line. If I don't do it now, I'm going to possibly get docked down in points and possibly get kicked out of the military because I'm supposed to do this. So we're living in a society right now, folks, that they could care less what this book says. They're going to scoff at this book. They're going to mock at this book. And our children are growing up in that society. And we have got to insulate them with the word of God so that they can go out there in the midst of this wicked world and stand in the middle of these scoffers with the victory through the word of God. Because that's what's going to get them. Their arguments aren't going to get it. Their whimsical thinking isn't going to get it. This book, the Bible. And so how can we make it through the scoffers? Victory through God's promises. God said it, that settles it. We have the words of the prophets. We have the words of the apostles. We have the words of the Lord. And then we'll go into some more of this coming up next week. Let me go ahead and, we'll fill it in next week. Amen. Give you this scripture here. And we'll meditate on this for next week. I'll go over to 2 Peter 2:5. 2 Peter 2:5. 2 Peter. And 2 Peter 2:5 is going to be our memory verse. Spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We have to know that God has spared us from this whole wicked world through the power of his word. And we want to continue to be steadfast, unmovable, standing on the word of God, making sure that we're not letting anyone see our labor in vain, because it is not in vain. And so we want to be steadfast, unmovable. Always abiding in the work of the Lord. So 2 Peter is going to be our verse, memory verse for next week. 2 Peter 2:5. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Are we saved? Yes, we are. We've trusted Christ. Our preacher of righteousness, we should preach it with our lips, preach it with our life. our lips and our life, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. By the way, there is a flood of ungodliness coming in to our world and coming in onto you. We've got to be able to stand against that ungodliness because it's coming. Our children are going to be the recipients of that. And we're older, and we can deal with that. But our kids are being convinced that it's right. And you're going to introduce to them that it's wrong because God said so. And they're going to have a problem because now it's either God said so or society said so. Which one am I going to choose? You make sure that you're insulating your children and children that you have influence. Let them know that this is what God says. It's not your view, so to speak. It is your view, but it's God's word. And that's what's going to take them through the scoffers. Father, bless now. We know the scoffers are out there, Lord. We'll see them tomorrow at work. We'll see them tomorrow in the community. We'll see them in the schools. We'll see them at Walmart. We'll see them, Lord, wherever we go. Lord, help us to have the victory through the promises of God. We've got the words of the apostles, the words of our Lord, and the words of the prophets. God, help us to stand the same way they stood the test of time, knowing that this wicked world is going to scoff and mock in everything that we stand for. But Jesus had confidence in the scriptures. The prophets had confidence in the scriptures. The apostles had confidence in the scriptures. And we can have confidence as well. Lord, may we take home this victory and live it daily against an ungodly world, scoffers and mockers. And Lord, help us to have a sweet spirit, a compassionate spirit, not to going out to blast anyone, but to love you and the word of God and sinners, that they might be saved. Even as Brother Fred said, we were just like them at one point in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Bless down the refreshments next door. And help us to have a great first morning service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.